How I practice supporting other women day to day is by loving myself and being good to myself. Because when I am good to me, when I take care of myself, I do not feel insecurity or jealousy. I do not act from a place of pain or hatred. And because of that, I won't hurt my women. I won't hurt the women around me. I'll only have space to uplift them because I feel that strong.
And that was Golden Globe winning actress and producer Gina Rodriguez, best known for her role on the television series Jane the Virgin. Today, Gina is taking on Hollywood in a different way. Through her own production company, she's creating opportunities for women and minorities to tell their stories. I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to the She Innovates podcast. It's a show that tackles the challenges and achievements of women in areas like innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Today I'm really excited because we have none other than the actress, director, and producer Gina Rodriguez joining us on the podcast. Gina's going to be sharing with us why she started her own production house called I Can and I Will, and she's also going to be talking with us about why women need to create the space for failure and why self-love is the key to supporting other women. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today on the podcast.
Are you kidding? I mean, the honor's mine.
So, Gina, I just wanted to get started by maybe getting you to share a little bit about, you know, why you've started this production company.
I originally started the company because I've always been one that had to place myself, you know, in a world because you can't depend on the industry to do it for you. As a woman that grew up in Chicago of Puerto Rican descent with brown skin and brown hair and brown eyes and, you know, a specific look that one could place me when they see me, they do that in the industry. They place you where they've seen you. They place you where they're comfortable. And that's their perspective. And when I say they, it's the projects that you're not creating yourself, the stories in which you're trying to place yourself into as a storyteller. And I've always had to place myself in different characters so that they didn't have to wonder what to do with me. And I felt like if I knew what that experience was firsthand, as someone who sees themselves as a woman first, and the culture and the religion and my personal political views, all that is secondary to my capabilities to tell stories as a woman, right? From that perspective. So I wanted to be able to tell stories and put people in places that were outside of the small tunnels that you're sometimes put in. You know, break down the barriers, break down the walls for others, because I knew how difficult it was for me to do it for myself. So that was the original impetus, was to just create a space for people like myself. And then for women, you know, who aren't often and haven't often been historically given the opportunities. And then for Latinos, Latinx community, who hasn't had as many opportunities to tell stories outside of what the industry has offered. From a perspective of one that is first generation to this country, whose parents are from somewhere else, I wanted to make ultimately other people's dreams come true.
It's just great to hear from you that, you know, your goal is to make other people's dreams come true. I love that, paying it forward. I guess I just want to understand, is that the overarching goal of the production company?
I feel very blessed for the upbringing that I had from my parents, coming from not, you know, typically or like culturally a lot and making a lot out of nothing, giving us good education and making it a priority that we're persistent, we're ambitious, made it a priority that we were focused on creating a life that we wanted to lead ultimately. And I've been blessed with that from the perspective of low income, neighborhood of predominantly Latino, Polish immigrant neighborhood. I feel very lucky to have been chosen to be able to act every day of my life, which was what my only goal was when I was younger. So I just want to do that for others also. Make it a little easier, maybe, you know, use the blessings that I had to create more for others.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to have people out there like you, you know, trying to do this, because I can only imagine how hard it is to succeed in the entertainment industry. It must be incredibly competitive and brutal. So could you share a bit more about your experience then, you know, as a producer and someone sort of running their own company in Hollywood? I mean, what's that like?
I mean, it's hard. I've been had the company for 2 years, and I've had my producing partner and I have, you know, been going at it. And under our CBS television deal, we've been pitching shows left and right and finding content from new writers and Latino perspectives and immigrant perspectives and women perspectives and transgender, disabled, like just like trying to create more space, right? And it's been such a challenge. Because as our culture shifts and as we very, very blatantly see it shift, we have to not give up. We have to keep trying. We have to create room for failure and for a space of growth and learning, because so many women that are getting opportunities right now, almost the pressure of like not being able to fail is so high, you know? And so their work is great. And there's so many different like challenges, but it is it's spectacular. And we just finished our first film. And that was a new space also for us, producing it with Netflix and with a great team of, you know, other production companies with us. And we're just trying. We're trying. So what started the mission is still driving the mission. And it's great. It's not an easy feat, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not easy in any industry, right, to set up your own business. But I can only imagine what it's like in Hollywood. I mean, what are some of the specific challenges that you faced in trying to establish your own company?
Well, I think it all starts with telling yourself that you are deserving and that you are prepared enough to enter these spaces, these arenas, producer, go into these rooms with the heads of studios, that you are deserving of being in that space. I think that that's where it almost begins, even before the challenges are thrown at you, because so many of the people that I encounter and so many of the artists of color, let's just group them that way so I can talk about the umbrella. So all of those artists that are now vocal about creating a space for themselves, all those that have been struggling for so long and going through the challenges of being discriminated against, disenfranchised, silenced, if you will, by the lack of visibility. Anyone that's going through that kind of journey has to first tell themselves that they are deserving of being in that space, because you're so apologetic at times. You're so sorry. That's my dog playing with his really loud toy. You're second guessing whether you're allowed to be in that space and participate in these kind of talks and conversations and creating this kind of content with these kind of budgets. And so I think that's where like my struggle first started. And then when entering it, I would say that as the culture and as the platforms and the opportunities change with these streaming sites, you so often, I think, as an artist come into this industry thinking that you're powerless, that you are just one of many, which there are many artists out there. Yes, that is a fact. But the ability to not compete with others and understand that your journey is your own, and that the idea that you need to change or transform to fit into this industry, I think that myth is starting to be unveiled. And the idea of you fully encompassing yourself, that ability to say that you are enough and your art will be accepted as another art form, as another art piece to anybody's story or project, then I think that you're able to really be an artist to the full extent because you're not compromising yourself. So a lot of our efforts in creating content right now and pitching it to these networks are to not change our artistic perspective because of fear that we're not going to be accepted by what still is not a fair representation. You know, the people that are hiring, the people in the studios, they're not a fair representation of what America looks like. They have yet to be as inclusive as I think is necessary to greenlight some of these projects that come from different backgrounds. That in a business perspective, it is more difficult for you to greenlight a project that you don't know, or there's nobody on the board saying yes or no, that are of a immigrant background or of a different culture, of a Latino background. If there are no women and there are no people of color in that room making decisions, then it makes it a little more difficult to get your content sold.
Women and people of color have been significantly underrepresented as leads in Hollywood films and television shows over the years. A 2018 Hollywood diversity report published by UCLA found that just over 1 out of every 10 actors are people of color. And while there's been some progress in the area of show creators, today only 7% of show creators are minorities and about 22% are women. So Gina, you know, I know you've been doing this for about 2 years now, you know, telling the stories of people whose voices haven't been heard through your production company. But I guess I was just wondering, you know, how do you check yourself? So how do you know if your company's actually being diverse and inclusive?
I guess I just, I am conscious of it at times. You know, like this last film we shot, it's a rom-com, and I was very conscious of it coming from the perspective of two brown leads. So it's me and Lakeith. It's a Puerto Rican and a black man, and our love story is just a love story like anyone else's. But it's told from the perspective of two brown leads. And rom-coms, we rarely see that. And it's very rare that we get to see love like everybody else's love, like Sleepless in Seattle, like any rom-com that Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson did, you know, just like normal love, heartbreak, but with brown leads. Like if you think about the psychological effects it has on a youth that never sees their skin tone telling a normal story of love, you separate yourself from thinking your experience is the same. You don't think that your love looks as beautiful as these awesome romantic comedies that we've seen growing up. And I was very conscious of that. We were very conscious of, like, my best friend, played by Jawanda Wise. You know, she is a queer woman and her love is a beautiful black woman. And the beauty of black love and the normalizing of it. We were conscious of it, but we were conscious of it because it's like, it's our stories that we haven't seen yet. It's hard not to check yourself in that realm because you're like, this is my story that I haven't seen that I've been dying to see. So I do have a beautiful foundation of people around me, but I'm just finding the stories that I haven't seen yet. That's what I've been wanting to do from when I was like 17 years old. When I first went to NYU, I've just been trying to put the people in the places that I haven't seen them in yet. So I guess like checking myself is very interesting to me because I have many people around me that hold my character accountable because that's important to me because I want to constantly be growing. I don't want to be floating, you know?
And telling those stories, it's just so important. You know, I think it's fantastic that you're doing this. But a big part of growing your business must be overcoming rejection, right? Doesn't matter who you are. You've got to face sort of the challenges that come with rejection. Have you got any sort of advice you can share on, you know, what you do when you get a no? Like, how do you overcome that?
Well, I mean, I think that that is the way to success is pushing through the no's because the only way to success is through failure. Like that's how you succeed eventually is by not allowing failure to stop you because it's just a matter of time before one of them hits before, you know, you get the project that literally changes your opportunity. You know, there are so many artists out there that are so talented and so capable and have just as great of a perspective and are just as activists in fighting and using, you know, part of their life for good that don't get the opportunities. There's so much talent out there. It's really just about constantly pushing through. So like those that are not allowing the no to push them in a different direction in their path will eventually feel a yes. And that's in any industry. That's not just in art. I mean, that's in anything you want to do in life. We link no to our self-worth. We link our perfection to our self-worth. You know, so-and-so is an amazing person because they're a celebrity because they're famous. Oh, so-and-so is a great human being because of their character. And I think that because our culture links our profession with our self-worth, then we're not really just going through a profession as like, this is the journey I'm choosing for my life. This is the game I'm deciding to play. The things that matter are when you go home to the person you love with the memories and watching your dog grow and your children grow. And, you know, you see your family get married or fall in love or have heartbreak. Like, that's life. Your career, if you fail, you try a different route. It's not your self-worth. It's a game. It's the game you chose to play on this journey of life. Our fear of failure when it comes to career, if we start correcting it or reconstructing it in our brain as, oh, I'm playing the game, I'm just going to keep playing. You're playing Monopoly with your parents, your family. You're not going to not play the next week because you didn't win that week. No, you're going to play again. You're going to play again because it's fun and you're going to try a different, you know, method and you're going to try to get better. And that's what a career should feel like. Not your self-worth. Life is great. If you fail, try again. Like real life, that's where I get to a different plane of like, ooh, I don't know. Like I don't want to fail when it comes to the way I love my family. And, you know, that's what matters. That's what stumps me. When I fail in that realm, then I'm like, ooh. When I fail at my career, it's like, all right, I'll try something else. That didn't work. Let's try again.
So Gina, my last question is really just what advice you can share with our audience in terms of, you know, how they can support the women in their lives. So have you got an example or, you know, something you can share that you do on a daily basis to try and support other women?
I always feel like I'm no one to give advice to anyone. And everything I say, if I have said something in any of my interviews, it is because I am always talking to myself. Every word that comes out of my mouth is for myself to be reminded that these are the practices I need to do. But how I practice supporting other women day to day is by loving myself and being good to myself. Because when I am good to me, when I take care of myself, I do not feel insecurity or jealousy. I do not act from a place of pain or hatred. And because of that, I won't hurt my women. I won't hurt the women around me. I'll only have space to uplift them because I feel that strong. I feel like the daily practice is to be good to you because then you will be so good to your sisters. You know what it takes to be good to you. You know what your sisters are going through. You know that the only thing you need to be is a supportive, loving human being that has no void because she is constantly making sure she is good. It's not vanity. It's like I love DeWanda Wise so much. So DeWanda and I have known each other since we were 17. And when we were on this movie together, she would say, you know, like, what are you doing after this? And I would say, oh girl, I'm going home, taking a bath and going to sleep. And it was so beautiful. She was like, that's what I'm talking about, girl. Love yourself. And it was like, if you stop and you think about that, it's like, that's what I need. That's what I need to be good every day on that set. That's what I need to be good to my girls and be there for them and read off camera lines for 4 hours. And, you know, and they do the same because they are good to themselves, that they have nothing but good to give to me. It's so beautiful when she would say that stuff. She'd say it to like all the people around us. And it's a beautiful thing to stop and be like, wow, I do love myself. I do want to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. And means I won't hurt anyone. I won't flake on a dinner, a date, because when I commit, I'll commit. Because when I decide to commit to myself, I commit to myself. And I feel like that's how I support my women.
So I really hope you all enjoyed my interview with Gina. You know, I think there's some great advice in there in terms of self-care and making sure that you're taking time out for yourself so you're in a good place to support the women in your life. You know, I've tried to follow this because I think it's 100% true. I don't always get it right, but I definitely have Gina's voice in my head encouraging me to take time out for myself. So as we announced last week, Berry Godboss, the largest career community for women, is now our official She Innovates podcast partner. So today we're launching the Fairy Godboss Insights, where we will be sharing some of their news, research, and advice that we hope you'll all find useful. Our first Fairy Godboss segment highlights the issue of promotions. A recent survey of about 160,000 workers by PayScale looked at who was asking for a raise and who receives a raise when they ask, and why some people don't ask for a raise. According to the report, when women of color ask for a raise, they're 19% less likely to receive a pay rise compared with white men. The study also found that the reason some men are more likely than women not to ask for a raise is because they've actually already received a raise, or because they're already happy with their salary. I think this is really important because often we place unfair blame on women for not asking for a raise, rather than with the companies to provide men and women with an equal chance of getting one. This is really critical to pay equity. We need to take a closer look at promotions and whether or not everybody has an equal chance of getting one. So if you're interested in this, please check out the Fairy Godboss website for more information. So thanks again for tuning in this week, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll catch you all again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.